Scripture lesson today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet Isaiah, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," said Jesus, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. They left their father and followed him. Sounds kind of sad, and I want to just put this in perspective, because sometimes it's hard for us to get out of 21st century America and go back to first century Galilee. There are differences that are pretty important. First of all, there's this prophecy from Isaiah that's being fulfilled. This idea that those people living in darkness have seen a great light. The people living in darkness didn't realize they were living in darkness until the light came. We live in a world that doesn't understand that they're living in darkness. But there's another part of it too, and it's this idea that they're fishermen and they're called to come be disciples. I've actually heard sermons preached about how hard it must have been for the fishermen to lose their sons in the family business, and they've gone away and left them all alone. But in our time, being a pastor is a nice job, and everybody knows it doesn't pay very well. And these days, you kind of get beat up a little bit. Who are you to tell other people when they're wrong? How are you to tell other people thus and so? And we don't live in a society that focuses on things of faith. But at that time, it was much different. At that time, the religious leaders were the center of the community. Everything revolved around God. Everything revolved around the teachings. At a risk of repeating myself, what we have to remember is the kind of world they grew up in. Six-year-old boys were sent off to Torah school, and they were taught to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Every six-year-old boy was expected to memorize the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch. When they were done, if they did well, they would be sent on to study the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the minor prophets as well. And if they did that really, really well, there would come a time where they would be evaluated, they'd be tested. And if they did it really well, they could become a disciple to a rabbi. Well, there was kind of a press for that. Everybody wanted their child to be the disciple of this rabbi or that rabbi, or however that would be seen as the best fit and the best part. So when they go and they say, James and John were called away from Zebedee, Zebedee is not whining that he no longer has his sons to help him on the fishing boat. It'd be more like, does this sound logical to you? Oh, I was hoping my son would help me with the fishing, but doggone it, he got accepted to med school at Johns Hopkins and he's got to leave. This isn't a bad thing. This is the best thing they could have imagined. Their sons were selected by Jesus. Now, one of the scriptures that kind of goes by fast in the lectionary and in the calendar year, there's this time when Jesus is a young boy, 11, 12 years old, and he is lost, quote unquote, in the temple. And what's happening at that moment is he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the great rabbi leaders. Do you know what the scripture says at that point? And the teachers were silent because they were amazed at his questions. See, in the rabbinic understanding, you would ask a question as a response to a question, and you would dig deeper and deeper and deeper into a subject. And eventually, the rabbi would stump the student with a question so deep and profound that it couldn't be responded to. But what has happened at that point is the tables turned. And Jesus has asked questions so deep and so profound that the rabbis can't answer. That's the level that Jesus has attained. So he is the ultimate person to be discipled to. And Jesus comes and he calls these people out of the fishing boats and into fishing for people. Zebedee is proud. He's not disappointed. So then, this fishing for people. I fish, but I'm not really a fisherman. But even good fishermen I've seen have days where they catch a lot and days when they don't catch much at all. Every day doesn't provide a great catch. But what do? You find a new spot. You find a new bait. You find a new fly. You find a new lure. You try something different. You try again. You don't quit. You keep on fishing. That's one reason why I think this analogy works so well, is that we're called to be fishers of people. It doesn't mean every day is going to be a record catch. And again, I'm not a great fisherman, but I understand that you don't use the same bait for trout as you do for bass, and you don't use the same bait when you fly fish as when you catfish. And some of us can't catch any fish. But you have opportunities to catch fish, and sometimes you have the bait that somebody else needs to be drawn close. But if you're like my daughter Grace, fishing seems nasty and scary because you kill the fish. When I hook a walleye, that walleye is dinner. But you see, the disciples are fishing with nets. And they're drawing the fish out of that body of water. And the way I envision what Jesus is saying is, Jesus is calling people to fish for people, to take them out of the shadow of death into the light. Some people are swimming in a mud puddle and don't realize it's a mud puddle. And they need to be drawn into the clear water, the clean water. Some people don't know they were made in the image of God. and that they were made for better things than the life that they're living now. That's why God made you and I. That's what we're supposed to do as fishers of people. Because just as Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John, they are calling us. People out there need to be called into a better life. Whenever you do a funeral, you can see different reactions across the room. As you talk about the deceased and you talk about God and you talk about the hope to come. And it tears at you because you can see people who don't believe in the hope to come. And in that moment, you realize that this funeral is hitting them much harder than it's hitting anyone else because they think that's all there is. I know it's hard to believe with the rain we've been having, but there are ponds that are drying up and there are fish living in a pond that is gradually going away. It's not that all ponds are, but the one that they're living in is. I think that analogy fits as people are being told that they have all they need, that they are all they need, that if they just believe in whatever truth that they have in their own mind, that it will be enough. It's not enough. We're made to be fishers of people because we need to tell people that you are made in the image of God. You're made to live a life that's better than this. You're made to be in a relationship with God and to live in eternity with Him. As I looked out yesterday and saw the eyes of people who understood that it wasn't goodbye, it was goodbye for now. The people who knew it was goodbye for now were able to celebrate and to tell the stories of Greg and tell the things that they knew, and they understood it because they knew that they would be united again. That's why we fish for people. To give people hope. To explain to them that this isn't all there is. You weren't made for this world. You were made in the image of God for an eternal life. Something that would overcome the people living in darkness. Because we've seen a great light. If we shine the light well, they'll understand. And that they will come and they'll fish for people too. Friends, it's time to go fishing. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we live in a world that thinks it's fine all by it themselves. Help us, Lord, to explain to them that they're made for something better, that there is more, that there's not only eternal life, but God came to give them life and give it abundantly when He sent His Son Jesus. To not only shine the light on us, but to teach us how to fish for people. And bring them home. Give us the patience to fish. Give us the bait they need to see, that they might see that they live in darkness, but they were made for the light. And all God's people said,